We're really, really excited to be here because a lot of you, I see a lot of faces that I've seen down in City View. My dad, Ivan Tate, has come here for many, many, many years as well. So it's one of those kind of things where I feel like, well, let's see, the last time I was here, I think it's like 15 years ago or so, roughly. So it was a long time. But I had come here a couple of times, you know, like when I was little, some people remember me here as like tiny, tiny. And so to us, you guys are a lot like family. And so we were really excited to begin to develop our own relationship with your pastors and with their family and their kids and all that, and to see them in Guatemala multiple times, and then to come here and bring Guatemala with us. So are you ready for today? Are you ready to hear some updates and get some word and leave refreshed? I believe you're going to leave refreshed. I believe you're going to leave blessed. And I believe you're going to leave with more than you came with, because that's how Jesus always does it. We never leave the same when we're in the presence of God. And you have an incredible opportunity here, living in the United States, where you can just gather together freely and openly and come and worship the Lord in this country, and nobody will stop you. It's totally your choice, and it's totally in your hands. That is a huge, huge blessing and a benefit you have living here in the United States. So we are excited that we just get to so freely come, and we're not all underground somewhere, and we're not all hiding. We just get to, in the open, proclaim the name of Jesus, read the word, learn from the word, and that's an awesome, awesome benefit. Amen? Okay, so I want to just start with prayer. If you'll just pray with me, I know we probably have prayed multiple times already, but I like to pray again. And so if you'll just close your eyes with me, I just want to commit this service to you, Lord, and thank you so much for the opportunity to be here today with City View Church. And I thank you that this is your body. This is the members of your body, Lord, so many represented here in this building. And I thank you, Father, for your purpose and plan for today, for this service, for each one of them. Thank you that you know the needs of their hearts and of their families, Lord. And that nothing escapes your vision, Father, that you really do see each one of them and that you know where they're at. And so I lift them up to you, Lord, and I pray for this service today. And I ask you, Father, to meet them where they're at, that as we share what's been put on our hearts and as we share what's in our hands here with Guatemala as well, that you will just move in their hearts, Father, to answer personal questions in their own lives that they've been wondering, Father, and that they will really, literally leave feeling better than when they came in, and leave and taking something away with them to use in their week this week, Father. And I thank you for that, and we just extend our hands to your pastors. If you just extend your hands to your pastors this morning, Steve and Christy and their family, Lord, and we uphold them to you, we lift them to you. Thank you for their service to the kingdom of God. Thank you for their faithfulness, Lord. We just pray over their family that they will never lack for anything in the name of Jesus, that their children will be favored, highly favored, that their gifts will make room for them and bring them before kings, that they will never be as a couple and as pastors, that they will continually be refreshed and renewed, Father, that you will bring in people to lift their arms and to help support the vision and the calling that you've given them. And we thank you for them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, amen. So we're going to start this morning. I just want to start by showing you a little video of Casa Angelina. Unfortunately, this is not a totally updated video, so there's more growth going on, and I'll tell you about that afterwards. But if you would just watch, we want to play that video right away. It does have sound as well, but we'll see.
Welcome to Guatemala. Casa Angelina was founded in 2003 after Brother Ivan and Jimmy K saw an empty hillside and envisioned an orphanage with many, many children running on it. Team after team has come down here to Guatemala after catching hold of this beautiful vision. And together with many generous givers, Casa Angelina has become what it is today. Casa Angelina is a high education orphanage where we educate the children in three areas: academically, socially, and spiritually. Our goal is not just to rescue them from the streets, but to break the cycle of poverty and to give them a quality of life that empowers their future. We have more than 24 acres of land in which we run a full-time feeding center, a medical clinic, a high education school, 9 total houses, as well as a nationally preserved forest. Our houses are designed to hold 15 children per home, with two tutors and a set of house parents and their children, for a total of 19 to 20 people in every house. To maintain families, we designed our home to have a girls' room and a boys' room, with a tutor sleeping in each room for the safety of the children. The quality of our homes helps with breaking the poverty mentality of the children. This is our feeding center, where we have three chefs and two local village women, rotating every day, who prepare all of the meals for the orphanage. This is a medical clinic, designed primarily to service the needs of the children and staff at Casa Angelina. The Mercy Clinic also serves the surrounding villages, where the poor can be seen by a doctor for a little over $1 per visit. Our children receive regular checkups by the doctors and nurse, ensuring the continued health of every child living at Casa Angelina. This is our school, with phase one of construction complete and two more phases to go. All of the children at Casa Angelina attend this private school, where we strive to give them a high standard of education. The school building was built along with all of our buildings with high quality material to last for generations to come. We believe that by educating our children, they will be able to be whatever they dream to be. With the land that God has given us, the children have plenty of space for recreation, creativity, and playtime. This is a real blessing from God. Our goal is to build at least six more houses and a church to complete Casa Angelina. Thank you for being a part of our vision. Anything we do of significance, we do in partnership with others.
Woohoo! Awesome. Okay, so I hope that that helps some of you who haven't been down there to kind of be able to picture it a little bit more. And, you know, I mentioned on that video we had six more houses and a church to still be built, but now we have one more house. So all the other houses are under construction right now. So this has been a really miraculous year already for us at Casa Angelina. We have people that are just coming forward like that to build those houses. And it's something in groups of people as well and people working with other people. We have one of the houses is going to be called the Harvest House, and it's a group of four different churches that gathered together. And they had individual team members that had all come, and those team members had met each other on the mission field and, you know, in Guatemala, and then they got together with these other churches, and they got their churches, and da, 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 and now they've all come together to build a house. Isn't that awesome? I absolutely love that. So, and we have the final house. We had a teenager who came down on a missions trip, and then later she came down to intern. She's only 16 years old, and she was like, I want to build a house. And, you know, you hear that from a lot of people, but she went back and said, I'm going to start raising money, and maybe I can partner with other people to raise enough money to build a house, but I'm going to start. And she did a whole website, and she just launched it, and she already raised $1,000, like in the first week. And I was like, what is happening? This is awesome. But that is the faithfulness of God to this project, that whenever people step out in faith, and they start to sow, and they start to give, and they start to be a part, he meets them every single time. And he makes the supernatural happen with our natural efforts. Isn't that awesome? And I know we personally have experienced that. Andrew mentioned that, and your pastor mentioned that I am the oldest daughter of Ivan. And I am. And so I know different members of my family have come on and off, and I know my brother Gavin's been here. My sister Kendra's come. Abby came when she was a tiny baby once, too. And I don't know if she's come again since then. I can't remember. But a lot of us have come on and off. And my husband and I met in Australia at Hillsong Bible College. And so he's Australian, as you know, you also heard. But we moved back to the States and got married and all that, and then went back to Australia for a year and worked there at Hillsong at the church for a year. And then in Ireland for a year with different churches. And then we thought we were coming to Guatemala. This is now a long time ago, 2003. We thought we were going to Guatemala, and we were coming through the States and found out we were going to have our first baby. We were like, okay, we'll stay here. And so we just worked in the offices of the ministry for many years, just doing all that while we had babies and all that kind of stuff. And we weren't expecting to hear that voice that says, go to Guatemala, when we heard it, but we heard it very clearly. And it was 2010, and the Lord really spoke to us that it was time for us to go to Guatemala. And at the time, we were, I mean, immediately our reaction was, okay, we're going to go, let's do this, let's go, you know? But when we approached all my family with it, we weren't sure what we were supposed to do in Guatemala yet, just that we were supposed to go. And all my family felt peace. And my mom had just been talking with my dad about the need for pastors in Guatemala. And all of a sudden, they looked at us when we said it, and they were like, you guys are supposed to be the pastors of Guatemala. And we were like, what are you talking about? And it was like a huge honor for us, a huge, huge honor, because, you know, these kids, over 80% of the kids have been sexually abused there. There's over 50 staff of all different ages and all different backgrounds that they come from as well. It's amazing what I've watched. It's like Casa Angelina is a magnet, not just for kids being healed, but adults being healed, because all of our staff, it's amazing the stories they come from. It's amazing the testimonies. And we have multiple tutors that have been just like, I never knew anybody that was abused the way I had been. And this has been a secret of my entire life. And now here I am at an orphanage working, and here you guys are praying over that stuff, and I can finally expose those things and get healed from that stuff. I mean, it's just over and over again, repetitively, we get to minister to the staff in a way. Just, you know, 20 years later, it's like they were kids that were abused and things happened to them and never got to express it or get healing or prayer for it. So in total, you know, Casa Angelina as a whole is really a place of restoration for these kids and for families. We run it, like you saw there, individual families. So individual houses, not one big dorm where all the kids stay, but it's literal houses and families. And they have a set of house parents who bring their own kids with them as well. And they raise 15 to 17 other children in the home. So probably around 20 people living in the house. And it's amazing, amazing, amazing. So we're trying to, the vision is not to just take the children off of the street, but it's really to break a cycle of poverty in their life, teach them something that they've never been taught before, show them real family and what love is and all that kind of thing, let the Lord heal them and educate them. We are a high education orphanage, so our school is a big part of what we do at Casa Angelina, because the majority of the orphanages in Guatemala, at the age of 16, they kick the kids out, and you got to fend for yourself. So it's kind of like a safe place to stay till you're 16. Other places will let the kids stay till 18, and then the same story, they're kicked out. And there is so much need in Guatemala that it's understandable. You think you want to get the littlest ones in and get them safe. But when the Lord put Casa Angelina on my parents' heart, the vision was really to break that cycle of poverty. And we can't do that if at 18 we push them out again and they have nothing, like no tools, no profession, no vocation, nothing. And so we've committed to find sponsors for every child to go to college in Guatemala. And this is our first year, and we have 5 kids now in college. Isn't that amazing? It's very, very, very exciting. All of them have the option. I mean, if, you know, they don't have to go to college or they don't want to, but we are giving them the option and saying, we'll support you and you can go to college during the week and come home on the weekends. And that's what they do. They go to college all week, and we have a house for them that we call the transition house, where they live in Chimaltenango, in the city where their schools are. And they attend school, and we have our chef Tulio and his wife Sylvia are the house parents of that house in Chimaltenango. And so they stay there with the teens, and he works during the day and all that, because obviously all of them are in school during the day, and then they come home at night, and he's home at night with his wife, and they have that family with someone they've known, too, for so many years, because Tulio has worked with us for like 7 or 8 years now. So a lot of them have grown up knowing them, too, which is really neat. And so they get to be in that home, loving environment, and then they come home on the weekends. And I love it. It's so awesome, because there, you know, and it is a learning ground. You know, we love your prayers. We need your prayers, because this is the first time, you know, we've stepped into this area of, you know, college and putting our kids that we're so want to protect and hold and keep safe into, you know, this area and arena with all these people. And it's just like, wow. And they're like, you know, they've encountered a lot of different things. Like, how do we explain ourselves? They're like, what do we say we are? We lived at an orphanage, but our family is you guys, and can we just tell them? We have, you know, gringo family. And we're like, yeah, tell them. I'm like, you got to tell them, because if you don't, we're at graduation. They're going to be like, who are they? So you got to, you know, so they're just like having to also find a way to explain their lives in a way that is comfortable for them and also shows the miracle of everything that God's done for them. So that's something amazing. And I have some photos I want to show you as well and tell you a couple stories of the kids. Okay, I'm not sure what order these are going to be in, so if I sound surprised, I am, because I organize them all, you know, but when you plug them into a new device sometimes, it changes. It changed the order this time anyway. So this is going to be an adventure. But we did a baptism. With over 60 kids at the orphanage that were ready to be baptized. This is Ronald, one of the kids. You can go to the next photo. This is another. We did it here in Lake Atitlan. Those are waders, like long, tall waders that are supposed to not help you to not get wet. And we got soaking wet anyway. Okay, next photo. This is just some of the kids coming out. This was a beautiful, beautiful day doing the baptism. And the lake, you can go to the next one. The lake is like, there's Ivan right there, my dad, and my mom's under that hat, and there's Yuri. And but we were literally, the lake is, if you've ever seen Lake Atitlan, I don't know if your teams have ever gone there when you visited, but it is a massive, huge lake. And so for the kids being baptized in that, with the history and the stories and everything, it was like that beautiful just step for them. They received Jesus. They felt totally transformed. They felt totally new. And so when this day finally came that we could take them all there, my sister Kendra and her husband Craig were there, and Andrew and I and my mom and dad, all of us family together, and we took them to be baptized. They were like, I'm throwing it all away, you know, in this lake. It's just washed away. And it was like the, you know, the real enactment of what they've been believing by faith for all these years since they received Jesus. So it was really beautiful for them. That's Ingrid. She's a beautiful girl. She's in a family of five, and they were hung by nooses by their parents and drug around the house and beaten with all sorts of things. You can go to the next one. Look how free. Okay, here we go. So this is a new little girl we have named Melanie. And Paola, which is her sister on the right there, the older girl, she's been with us for many, many years, and her mother was in prostitution. And so as a little girl at 1.5 and 2 years old, her mom would sit her in the tree to sleep, and she'd tie her in a tree. And she'd walk across the street and work at the bar there. And so Paola grew up learning to sleep sitting up in trees. And so when we got her, when she was rescued and brought to us, she would sleep sitting up holding on to the leg of the table in the kitchen. And it took her quite a while. It took her months, really, of finally being comfortable to lay down in a bed. And she didn't have any biological siblings that they found with her. But she always was praying, Lord, if I have any brothers or sisters, find him. If I have any brothers or sisters, find him. And a few months ago, we got Melanie. And she is her biological sister. Her mother did have another baby and abandoned her as well. And she was just living with a lady that found her, literally. And living at this lady's house. And the mom had come once to visit and then just gone for months and months and months. And the lady couldn't care for Melanie either because she was impoverished. So now we have them both. And it's beautiful. This is a family of three. Carla is the littlest one, Marjorie's in the middle, and Williams is on the outside. He's 11, Marjorie's 10, and Carla's 7.5. And their family is actually, the siblings are all sold into a prostitution ring. They rent out all the children of the family, rent them out, and come back and forth. And so it was starting already with Marjorie in the middle there when the police were able to locate the family. They have three older sisters that all have kids and are 14, 15, 16, and have multiple children already. And so this was a literal miracle to find this family and be able to rescue these kids. And when they came, they were really afraid they weren't going to be able to stay. They'd never been any place like Casa Angelina. So they come the gates, and they're just like, this is amazing. And this is the first night we got them. Look how happy they are. Like, literally, it's just like the first night they came in, they walked in the house and they were like, this is amazing, this is amazing, this is amazing. They couldn't believe it. And they said, will we be able to stay here a long time? And I was like, yeah, you're going to stay here a long time, because the judge gave us permanent custody of them. And this was in like the beginning of February that we got them. And he was like, and William said to me, does a long time mean we can stay till April? And I'm like, that's 2 months. That's not like a long time anywhere. But they had lived a life of just being passed around. So they have no idea of stability, but now they're learning it, and they're just a miracle family. Okay, next photo. This is some awesome boys. I just love that picture. I just had to put it in because I said, I love that photo. And that little guy on the left, you can see there's a scar on his cheek. His name is Obed, and his family would burn him and his brother with cigarettes and cut them with machetes. They used to cut their fingertips with machetes. No reason, just, you know. So they have a lot of scars on their body, but the Lord rescued them, and they're with us now. They're a beautiful testimony. Okay, next photo. Okay, so on the left-hand side there, with that smirky little grin there, that's Ronald. And he's one of our kids in college right now, and he's learning to be a pilot, and he's in a military school, so I had to get this photo in there. And he was our first kid to ever go to college, and he actually has parents who work as house parents in Casa Angelina. So he's been raised in Casa Angelina and then started going to college, and he is such a testimony for the other kids. They really believe that they can do it. I think I've got another photo of him next. With his mom and dad, yep. There he is with his mom and dad. And they're, you know, extremely, extremely proud of him. But Ronald is just doing amazing. Top of his class, number one out of all the students in his class. The school is a military school in a dangerous part of the city, and he just needs the protection of the Lord every day. But it is the only school where he can learn what he wants to learn. And his dream is to become a commercial pilot. So we're just believing that's going to happen for him. And the minute that we asked for sponsorship for him, my dad asked, and he got it the day that he asked. So he's just a beautiful testimony, his whole life and his family. Okay, next photo. Okay, this is a lady we just found. One of the beautiful ministries the kids at Casa Angelina get to have is we go out into the community, and we find widows to help, and we find families, and we feed the poor. And so all the kids there in the orphanage get to do that. And this is a lady we just found. And this is how she's living. She can't actually walk. She has a wheelchair. But this is her home. And it had been days since she had eaten when we just found her. And I think I have more photos of her. Let's see if they're in order. Yep. So our staff, this is one of our house moms here, and that's our Dr. Ceci on the left. And they brought her, they carried her literally to the car and brought her to the clinic and undressed her to bathe her and to meet her needs and to find out what was wrong. And she had just lost her hearing in one of her ears. She had a massive bronchial infection, I think that's how you say it, where she wasn't breathing very well. Okay, you can go to the next photo. They took pure water to her house. You can keep going. Yeah, this is cleaning their house. That's Sue Selly, one of our girls at the orphanage in the back there. But they brought in a brand new bed. We just threw away the other pallet sort of thing that she was sleeping on and bought new mattresses and bought a new bed and went in and cleaned the house. Okay, next one. This is lots of food. She's literally like weighed down with food now, but they obviously wanted to show that the food is hers. Okay, the next one. I think I have one. Yeah, there they are carrying her. That's Alex, one of our house parents, carrying her to the clinic. And I think I have one more. Yeah. Giving her Pedialyte. In the next photo. Yeah. Look at her hands. Look at that. That is amazing, isn't it? She's 86 years old. And she obviously has arthritis, but we believe that all her fingers were broken at some time in her life and that she never got them healed and they were never taken care of. So now she's got broken fingers and arthritis and she can't walk. And so it is it's a miracle we found her, but it's like talking in the village to one person who talks to another, and so you're able to find him. And now all the houses at Casa Angelina, they adopt a widow. So the little kids are able to go and visit them regularly and clean the house and love on them and talk to them and sing to them and pray for them and bring food. And at Christmas time, we brought presents for all the widows' grandchildren in the villages as well, so they could give presents to all their grandkids and that kind of thing. So it was a real blessing. Okay, next photo. There, two of the house parents with her. Okay, you can keep going. Yeah, some of the boys at Casa Angelina. We'll go through some of these. Our mini teens now, preteens, you know. We've got 31 teenagers now, and these guys are all like the 11, 12-year-olds that are about to be teenagers. And I see two that are, look at the little girls. They're so beautiful. Every one of them has a miracle story. Even Marisa there in the purple shirt, she was there when her sister was violently sexually abused, and her brother, who saw it all. And now they were rescued and brought to us. And just miracles, oh my goodness, every single one of them. Adelina on the far right-hand side, her brother and her, their father is actually their grandfather. It was a case of incest. And just, they lived in one room with him, while he would bring in different people and all sorts of stuff. So they were exposed to a lot of bad sexual things as kids. And so when they came, I remember, I think I actually have a photo of them. Would you go to the next photo? Maybe it's next. No, you can go one more because I just told them. There they are. That was great. That worked out really well. He was there. That's them, actually. And when Baldomero came, like, his boots were filled with mud and poop. And he had not showered. They didn't think they'd had a bath in their life. And never brushed their teeth. Most of the kids we get have never brushed their teeth. And, you know, I'm telling you these stories so you understand, you know, just what we're dealing with there and the kind of work that's going on at Casa Angelina, because it matters, because you're a part of it. And you guys have partnered with us for years and years. And I don't want you to forget the amazing thing the Lord is doing with your $10 a month or anything you give or the times that you come down to visit, because all these are little lives and each one of these lives matter to God. And He sees all their stories and you have a part in that. And so me being here is my opportunity to say thank you for everything that you've done and that you continue to do, because it matters to the heart of God and it matters to my family, and we appreciate you guys so much. So that is why I'm telling you these stories. If you're wondering what I'm doing, it's to let you know that these little kids have been rescued from all those kind of situations, and you have a hand in that and a part in doing that. So, okay, next photo. Just some beautiful little girls playing a game. Isn't that an awesome photo? I love that photo. That's Suselli, a little Suselli. We have a big Suselli, and that's our little Suselli. And she's covered in scars. Her parents were ones that would burn her often. And she's 5 years old. So she's already lived with us a year. And so she was 4 when we got her. And I'm talking, she's got massive cuts, deep gashes all over her face that were never healed, and big scars all over. But is a little fireball energy, man. And she is a joy, too. She's a beautiful little girl. Okay. This is part, I think the next photo, too, if you'll go to the next one. Yeah, this is part of our, I guess, wild natural playground. We have a big part of our property is a forest, and we got it nationally preserved with the government so that they like us more, because we're not building on every single square inch of the property. But really, for us, it was just a place to have the kids have a play area, you know? And they have, every Friday, they do a club with my husband, and he teaches them, like, how to build things and do stuff and all that kind of stuff. And so they built a tree house together. And sometimes he says it's more like a Lord of the Flies kind of thing, where they just all run around crazy with sticks and roll down hills and get really filthy and muddy. And that's kind of one of these days. But it's a beautiful... That's a beautiful area back there, and we are so grateful to have it on the land, on the property. Okay, next photo. Aha, yes, okay. Little girl in the middle there is a brand new little girl that we got. Her name is Maritza, and she's actually 5 years old now, but when we got her, she was weighed 24 pounds. And if you know, like, that's a two-year-old, roughly. Like, a two-year-old is going to be in the 20s. And she was 24 pounds and almost five. Now she's had her birthday. But, tiny, tiny little thing. Her mother's only 14 years old, and she was sexually abused. And so when she had her, she didn't want her at all. And no one cared for her. She was scrounging for food in those times. And so she barely got anything to eat. And she was like, her eyes still are a little bit hollow. You can see they're just kind of dark, and her face is really skinny. But just in the time that we had her, she was already gaining weight. It was like she gained 2 pounds the first 2 weeks, and they were like amazed with that. So I have no doubt that, you know, the miracle of her life is just going to continue as she continues to gain weight and get healthier. She's a beautiful little girl. That's Saul. He's a little boy, up and coming. And he was kind of nicknamed the Screamer for a while, because when we got him, he was so terrified because of the abuse he'd suffered, and he was only 1 and a half. He had already been beaten quite a bit, and he was so terrified of people that he would just scream all day. You looked at him, you said hi, he would just scream, like, and push back in his high chair, just like terrorized. And we just would pray for him and pray for him and pray for him. And now he is a joy. He's 3 years old. He runs all over, and he's not going to remember all of that. He's not going to remember that abuse, because that overwhelming love of God is covering his life and totally healing him from all that. And he is joyful now, a joyful, joyful little kid. And he's another beautiful testimony. Okay, next photo. Ah, yes, this is Eddie. We just got Eddie, and this is the day we got him. This is in our social worker's office, actually, on the very day we got him. And he was found by the judge. The judge was walking the street, and there was a lady passed out drunk on the road, and he saw this little boy. And he gave it a little bit of time, but he saw him there 3 days. And he was just sitting there by her, and she was just passed out. And so the judge said, that's it, I'm taking him away. And he did, and he went through all the paperwork, and they gave us permanent custody because they found out she was his only caregiver and that that was her situation. And she, and so they brought him to us, which is so amazing and exciting. And then we found out, because he entered Casa Angelina. Oh, and by the way, he's 7, and I would say, how tall? Like he's maybe here-ish. Yeah, maybe there. But he's a tiny, tiny kid. And a lot of malnourishment in his case as well, obviously. But he came into Casa Angelina, and he was like, I know this place. And we're like, what are you talking about? You know, you've never been here. And he says, my grandma would try to help me sometimes, and you built a house for her. And she was one of the widows that we built a house for in the village. And this, now we have her grandson and are able to take care of him. Isn't that amazing? And she wasn't able to help him or take care of him, but she would try sometimes, and she would bring him to the clinic. Because all the widows come to the clinic for free, and their grandkids and their families can come for free. And so she would bring him. And so when he came in, he was like, I know this place. You've treated me so nice before. And so he had that to sort of help him in the process. Isn't that amazing? I love how it became generational there, you know, the blessing on their family. Okay, next one. These are some of the new girls in their new little dresses. I love that photo. And there he is. That's Eddie right in the middle of the other boys. He's a short little kid, but he's awesome. And one more. I think I've got one more of him. There it is. Yep, he's very happy. Okay, that's good for the photos. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I just want to read a verse to you, if I can, before I ask and invite Andrew to come up. If you'll open your Bibles to Isaiah 55. And while you're opening, I just want to give you an opportunity and tell you about one last thing while you're opening up. I don't know, you know, if you are already supporting or helping Casa Angelina, I want to say thank you really from the bottom of my heart and from my family to say thank you for your partnership with us in this vision. This is definitely nothing that we covet as our own. This is something that we share with everybody who wants a part of it, because we know that we can't do it, and we can't rescue all the kids that need rescuing. We can't help them fully in our own strength. It takes the partnership of everybody being together. And two of the needs we have right now, I asked if I could have permission to just mention two needs, and I just wanted to mention them to you, because two of the needs we have right now are finishing support on one of the houses. We raise support for a house so we can fully fill it with children, and we have a house that still is lacking nine supporters, which is $900. We try to split it if anyone can do $100 a month, and we ask 9 people to do $100 a month to raise that support for the house so that we're able to fully fill it with kids and all that kind of thing and keep it running. And some people say, you know, $100 a month is too much, but if you can do 50, God will provide the other person who does 50. It happens like that over and over and over again. So if that is something that's on your heart to do, we can do it, you know, monthly withdrawals or credit cards or bank accounts or whatever. You can mail it in. And I have things. You can come and see Andrew and I at the end there in the back. And that would be an amazing thing. We're also trying to raise the $700 a month, which is 7 more people doing $100 a month for a new set of house parents, because we are on the verge of opening a brand new house. So it's time to pray. Really, we pray a lot before we hire new house parents, because it takes special kind of people to really run the houses. And we're praying for them, and we need $700 more for their salary to raise that ahead of time to be able to hire them and bring their family into Casa Angelina and train them for 2 months before we give them a house. So we're on that place now of needing to open a new house, so we're looking for a new house parent. So if the Lord puts that on any of your heart, please let me know, or Andrew know at the end of the service too, or your pastors or however. Maybe you're not ready today and you want to do it later. We'll be out there at the book table, which I should mention. This is my book. It's called First Love Prayers. And it's not a men's book or a women's book. It's just a book. And what happened was the Lord began to speak to me and give me prayers, really, that I was just praying to him. And I would just feel an unction of the Holy Ghost at the time, and I would write them down. I felt like I should write them down. And when I would reread them, when I thought I was really talking to God, what I realized was he was teaching me about myself and how he felt about me and the reason he created me and why I am who I am. And it really started just deepening my walk with the Lord. And so I really always thought they were just something personal just for me and my private little thing, you know. And when I met my husband and we were dating and we knew we were going to get married, I was like, I've got to share with him this special thing for me. And I shared it with him and it started really blessing him. And he was like, Bethany, this is really changing my prayer walk. And I was like, oh my goodness, that's awesome and amazing. I was like, maybe they're not just for me. And I started sharing them with other people and it started having that effect in others' lives. So I put them together in a book. And each prayer has a journal page at the end for you to be able to write your own notes and thoughts and what the Lord speaks to you as you read these prayers. Okay? These are $10 in the back. And if you want any of those, I'll be back there and I'll write a word in it and give you some verses from the Lord and stuff when you get one of those. Okay, Isaiah 55. I'm only going to share like literally 5 minutes, just bam, bam. For my thought, okay, this is verse 8 and 9. Did I say that? Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And I'm going to just read it one more time. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isn't that beautiful? It's beautiful. It's such a reminder to remember that, really, if God is going to have the capability of doing something new and amazing in your life, you have to be able to hear his voice. And he doesn't always speak to us the way that we expect or with our natural ears. It's very hard to hear him. I know when we have a plan to do something, we have a vision and we want to get it accomplished, we make steps and we plan steps and we go forward in that. And yet his ways and his thoughts are so much bigger and better than our way and our thought of doing it. We have to keep ourselves in a position where we are listening with spiritual ears to the voice of the Lord, where he can speak to us and guide us and redirect us and show us a better way of doing things. And it takes us living in a place of humility, you know, where we really don't get stubborn in that one thing, but we are open to the Holy Spirit revealing to us through the Word of God a better plan and a better way of doing it. You know, if my dad had said, how am I going to build this humongous orphanage and all these children and on this hill that has no electricity and no water and no anything, it would have never happened. But when he heard the Lord speak to him to do that, he said, okay, your thoughts way bigger than mine. Your plans way bigger than mine. Your ways way bigger than mine. And so I'm going to commit it to you. And I'm going to take my first step of faith and say yes. And then I'm going to watch you bring it to pass the way that you can only work it out, the way that God only can do it. And I recently had an experience that just kind of threw this in my face again in a beautiful way. And I was at Walmart on January 1st, the first day of the new year. And I went in and I was buying some stuff. And I remembered that I was going to see one of my friends the next day. And it was her birthday. And I was like, I didn't buy anything. So I got a gift card real quick there at Walmart. She loves shopping at Walmart. And I got a gift card for her from Walmart. And I was leaving. And I said, God bless you, to the lady at the door. You know, it's New Year's. And I was like, ah, God bless you. And she didn't hear me, but a lady standing right in front of me heard me because I yelled it out. And the lady in front of me turns around and says, oh, God bless you too. And I hadn't even seen her. I hadn't noticed her. And of course, when she spoke to me, then I took note of her. And I realized she was a bit older and she had Crocs on. And they have holes. You know how Crocs have all those little holes in them? But it was freezing cold in Colorado on January 1st and there was snow everywhere. And she wasn't dressed very warmly. And I thought, oh, I wonder if she doesn't have a lot or if she can't afford nicer clothes or what. I'm starting to think about it, you know, but I'm still walking with my daughter, India. And she looks at my daughter, India, and she says, God bless you too, beautiful little girl. And India was like, thank you. And we're walking out in the parking lot. And I just had that feeling like, you know, I want to bless her. I want to do something. And I had this gift card. So now I'm like, well, I know she shops at Walmart. So this gift card will be great for her. So I'm thinking, the Lord's going to use me to be a blessing to her, you know? And so I go scouting for her out in the parking lot now. In that kind of awkward, is she going to think I'm weird? Is she going to be terrified as I'm like looking for her all over? And I found her with India, and we go up to her to give her the gift card, and I gave it to her, and I said, I just believe the Lord really wants to bless you, and so I want to give you this gift card. And she just looks at me kind of stunned a little bit and says, why again? And I said, because I just really felt you were on my heart when I saw you, and so I just want to tell you God loves you so much and give you this gift card. And this is where this whole thing happens, you know? And she puts her hand right here on my shoulder, And she looks me in my eyes and she says, in the same way that the Lord put me on your heart to bless, he put your daughter on my heart to bless. And I didn't have anything to give her. Can I give her the gift card? And I was like, what just happened? I was like, I was the one going to be a blessing and just step out and just love her with the love of the Lord. And she's like, by the way, what you didn't know, you know, is that God was speaking to her. And she saw my daughter and really wanted to bless my daughter. And she said, can I sow this into her life? And I was like, yes. And I'm crying now, you know, I'm like, what's happening right now? And she looks at my daughter and she hands her the thing and she says, God has incredible plans for your life. And I want to be the first to sow into that. And she gives her the gift card, you know? So I'm just standing there amazed, thinking your thoughts are not my thoughts and your ways are not my ways and they're so much better and I never could have known that, you know? But if I hadn't stepped out in my understanding first, in my first step of just, yeah, I'll be a blessing, you know? I wouldn't even have had that whole experience. And I wouldn't have learned that amazing lesson from him, that what he was trying to teach me, that he knew so much more than I did. And that he will use and direct our steps of faith. When you take that step in faith to do something, to follow a plan that God's given you, even though it is sometimes terrifying to think about it and all the possibilities of what could happen and all the negative voices that are there, if you take that step in faith, God can direct you and lead you. And it always is to something greater. And it always is to something better. You can't lose by stepping out in faith. You really can't. And so I just wanted to share that with you quickly this morning and ask Andrew to come up. And thank you so much for listening to me and looking at videos and photos and all things.